Welcome to Taz Festival, your radio guide to thoroughbred racing this week in Tasmania.
And a very good morning to you, Colin McNeff and Greg Mansfield joining you to talk all things thoroughbred down here in Tasmania. And it's been a big week, and it's going to be a big week next week. It's Wednesday. All roads leading to Devonport for the running of the 2015 Devonport Cup. We've had some fabulous racing over the past 7 days, and Greg Mansfield joins me now. How are you, Greg?
Good, thanks, Colin. Yeah, it has been a great week, hasn't it? Contrasting meetings at Launceston on Wednesday night. We had, I think, probably three or four of the classiest horses we've got in Tasmania going around. The class wasn't the same at Longford on Thursday, but nonetheless, it was one of those picnic meetings that everybody loves to be at. It was a very warm day and some good racing.
We've had some warm weather. It has cooled off, fortunately, in the past 12 or 14 hours, so a little bit more comfortable at the present time.
It is, and we've had a few showers on the northwest coast overnight, which is good. It won't do the Devonport synthetic track any harm at all. In fact, it needs a bit of water on it. It gets too dry, it gets too dusty, so a couple more showers between now and Wednesday won't go astray either.
We'll talk about the Devonport Cup a little later in the program, and we'll also look at the Quadrilla races for Hobart Harness tonight, first of 10, coming up at 5.25, the last of those 10 races at 9.35, Tasmanian summertime. More about that a little later. But plenty to talk about, as we mentioned, two meetings, and I think Wednesday night's meeting, Greg, was probably as good a Wednesday night program that we've had this season.
I wouldn't argue with that, Colin. We had, as I said, the best horses in Tasmania going around, or most of them. Admiral, Banker Moe, GG's Blackface, Iggy McCool, and some up-and-comers as well. Of course, Miss Middleton back from interstate, so it was action-packed racing all night.
Of course, leading into the races, GG's Blackface was the talk, needing some $14,000 to run first or second to take his prize money earned in Tasmania past the $1 million mark. He was nosed out in the photo finish. He ran third, so he's still about $4,500 short.
Yes, as you said, I'm sure Connections would like to go over that milestone with a win, but nonetheless, he was only about 2 millimetres away from getting up by running second, wasn't he? Bankamo grabbed him in the very last hop.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a look at the race by race from Launceston on Wednesday night. And Dream Roller took the first. Started the $2.60 favourite after coming off a really good first up second. Horse that had been placed 4 out of 5 starts. It was a popular pick and it won accordingly.
It was. It was given a perfect run by Ismail Toker to bolt it out at the finish. Having said that, despite the fact that it won by a big margin, I think there's quite a few horses out of this race worth following. The runner-up, Alira, was really good because it had to work to lead from a very wide gate, covered extra ground. The fourth place getter, Sim Dav, ran on quite nicely. And the fifth place getter, a horse called Just Run, copped a bad check on the home turn. Thought he did well to recover and finish not far away. So a few to follow, but the winner was dominant.
Yeah, Just Run, its first couple of runs have been okay. It was set out favourite and disappointed 2 runs back, but that run on Wednesday night was very good. I think that check it copped at about the 350 certainly cost it a check. It was one of those things, perhaps that the horse might go slightly better over a longer trip, maybe 1,400 metres if they can step it up. I think it'll be a good thing next time it steps out.
I think 1,400 will suit. I did ask the stewards about the race, whether the interference was caused by anything else, but I think it was just Anthony Darmanin, who did ride a brilliant race on the horse, got across to the fence, or near the fence from a wide gate, just tried to push out, come into the home turn and get into clear running, and there wasn't quite room there, and the horse stumbled and, as you said, lost a bit of ground, so he probably should have run a place for sure.
Mm. Second man, this was the boulder for the night, Aim for the Moon. It wasn't impossible to have. This horse had started at $32, so a bit of a roughie getting home here in a maiden over 1,600 metres, but he didn't have a lot of luck at his previous start in Hobart.
Form wasn't hopeless. He's a nicely, or she's a nicely bred filly. She's a half sister to a handy horse in Tasmania called Avanastash. Ronda Hall trains this one, and Sue Germano rode the winner. His last winner prior to that was back in March, so he'd been through a long dry spell. He'd ridden 20 or 30 minor placings and a lot of seconds, so good to see Sue break through. I thought the runner-up, Eternal Dream, was good. Gary White, the trainer, told the stewards it wasn't the intention to lead on this horse, but when Ismail Toker got caught wide, he had really no option but to roll forward, so perhaps not suited in front, but battled on well, and that Crip Point, the third place getter, also finished off nicely.
Yeah, made some nice ground, but it does tend to do that. What about, we'll talk about this horse that ran fourth, Magnassa, had started the favourite, was slightly disappointed, backed up a little later on, so to speak.
We'll get to that later, won't we? But yeah, it's struggling on the home turn. It's went round at $3.25 and had a perfect run fourth on the fence, but he didn't want to be on it turning for home.
Yeah. In the third event, this is a class one over 1,400 metres. Rustigal proved that its win in Hobart and Maiden Company just before Christmas was no fluke.
Yeah, two wins in a row, both times starting around about the 20-1 mark. Not very often you see that with the Brunton horses. Lob six early, one off the fence, got into a lovely spot, won easily. David Press riding in sensational form, that was another great ride. Ryan's Daughter and Mon Wando, the place getters, both ran on well. Disappointment from the favourites, they were at Twyre. I thought he'd had every possible, just didn't quite finish off the last 100. And in the Stewards report, GG's Baritone, which ran fifth, but gets a mention, it was held up around the turn at the top of the straight. Should have probably finished a bit closer.
Yeah, I think Ryan's Daughter might be the horse to follow out of that. Had to do a bit of work from a wide alley in the early part of the race, so its performance was quite good to finish second there. But good on Rusty Cooper, Scott Brunt, and David Perez making it two in a row. Well, Miss Middleton, there was plenty of people wanting to tip this one to All and Sundry Greg, and had come back, as you say, from campaigning interstate in Melbourne and Sydney, back now with its original trainer in Barry Campbell. Stable apprentice Ismail Toka had the ride, and it made a one-act affair of the Craig Hanson Memorial.
A very smart mare, very lightly raised considering she's 6 years of age. Spent some time with the Cummings stable. Didn't really show her best. She had a few good races over there, but not what we'd expected her from what she's shown in Tasmania. Barry Campbell, her trainer, was telling me after the race that Kim Moore, who unfortunately broke a foot during the week in a barrier trial mishap, she'd been riding this mare track work, and she just told Barry prior to the race that there was no way that she would get beaten. She'd been working so well. So anyone who knew that, snapped up the 660. I thought she was super impressive. I think the best part about her win was the last 100 metres. She loomed up to them. She was always going to win from halfway up the straight, but she put her head down over the last 100 and just charged away and won by almost two lengths. So super impressive. The excellent run from the second horse hailed. This was severely checked just after the start. To recover in second in a pretty hot field was a good effort. He's got his foot right on the till. Merrick's Beauty was good as usual. And the favourite, GG's Double J, locked up after kicking through the lead. I'm not sure whether they might have to review their tactics on this horse. He just seems to find too much pressure when he's in front.
Yeah, he hasn't begun brilliantly his last couple of runs, and there's still surged due forward. He's been found wanting in the last little bit, so yeah, I'm not sure about GG's Double J. He's got a load of ability, but perhaps taking a sit might be the option for him. We saw Fiorca take out the two-year-old maiden. This is by Shark Bite from Chrome Magic, and it was the middle pin of a winning treble for Barry Campbell.
Well, one of the best punting systems in Tasmania is to back Barry Campbell's horses in two-year-olds, and just hopefully he doesn't have too many in the one race, but this was totally dominant. Went around $1.80. It's had three placings prior to this. This was certainly, the easiest race that it's contested. Second last early, McCall rode it confidently, just circled the field, strolled away and won by more than two lengths. The horse to follow out of the race, to my eye, was the third place getter, Madame George, who was slow away, I think was basically three wide for the entire trip, ran on well, was four lengths from the winner, but a nice first up effort.
Brendan just rode Sioka like it was the best horse in the race, didn't he?
He certainly did, and for the excuse file, the horse that ran about fifth in that GG's Vicky, which was in the betting, it was about a $9 chance, that the saddle shifted quite badly on that, so a total forgive.
Okay, because I did say that's got plenty of ability, GG's Vicky. Admiral, wow, the three-year-old trophy, he just blew them away, won by 4.25, probably could have won by 8.5.
Yeah, the most impressive win of the night by a long margin, sat second, just one off the rail, joined the leaders hard held on the home turn and strolled away to win by 4.25. Ran good times, good section horse. He's just an exceptionally good horse, we all know that. Interesting to see where they go with him long term. His next run, or his immediate target, is the Tasmanian Guineas. He steps up to 1,600 metres in that race, and Barry Campbell will then decide whether to press on to the longer three-year-old races, such as the Derby, of course, or whether to even freshen him up and have a crack at one of our weight for age races, the Thomas Lyons. That's on his agenda. So some big things in store for Admiral, whichever way they go. The runner-up, Bodent Warrior, led and was gallant into feet. He's just not quite as good as the toppy, but he's a very nice horse anyway. GG's Golden Girl looks like she's the best of the filly. She was a good third. And I quite like the run of a horse in this called Calavera, who's a stablemate of Admiral. He went round at 40-1, worked home nicely after a wide run, and he's a Derby horse for sure.
Yep. Kevin Sharkey, Tasmanian Stakes, was another of the features. This was the race that saw Gigi's Black Flash try to top the $1 million mark, but it wasn't to be. It was there with 100 metres to go, but Iggy McCool finished very quickly down the outside, coming from back of the tail, and Bankamo probably the unlucky runner in the race.
Yeah, Bankamo did look a bit stiff, but this was a beautiful ride for McCool. There was no pace much on in this race, and Iggy McCool settled at the rear of a very small field. I think there was six runners, a field of six. McCool quickly summed up the situation. He wasn't going to get caught back and let it turn into a sprint home. So with about 600 metres to go, he loomed up alongside them four wide. He was basically on terms with them turning for home, and the mare just charged clear in the straight. It was a good win, won by half a length. Had some very good horses, and she's on target for the Hobart Cup, but I thought Bankamo was perhaps the run of the race.
Yeah, I agree with that, but both horses, well, all three place getters certain to win in the not-too-distant. Well, theirs was always short in betting in the next race on the card, but a beautiful ride by Anthony Dalmanning got it across the line.
It was the first win for the new training partnership of Graham McCulloch and David Keating. This is a very nice Sebring gelding, and I think he's possibly a Derby horse as well. He seems to get better as he gets over more ground. He was jumping straight from the 1200 to the 1600 here, so it was a good effort. He raced fifth on the fence. As you said, it was a nice ride. Got a split at the top of the straight, and he was just too good for them. The punters found him. I thought he might have been a bit of each way value in the race, but he opened up pretty short and started at $3. The excuse for the fourth place getter, Grey Gown, I think it was the unlucky runner, passed out of the barriers, was very good late.
Yeah, held up at about the 100 metre mark, had a chequered path in the home straight, but unfortunately, with its racing pattern, Grey Gown, it's going to run into those sorts of problems frequently.
It does run into them frequently, and with 60.5 kilos on your back, 61.5 with the vest allowance, you just can't afford to have a chequered run, can you?
No. The last perplexing rounded out the night for Brunton and Perez, rounded out the year for them.
Yeah, I thought that the winner of the race on form, it was a nice race for it, 1600 metres, it was screaming after that trip. And I think it will win more. Sabre Jets, a nice filly chased at home. The third place getter, Final RG, was very honest with a huge weight, so the three place getters were the best out of that race.
Yep, and horse to follow?
Well, I'll go right back to the first race. I like Just Run. I also like Alira and Simdab, so three out of that one race.
Mm.
I thought Hailed out of the Craig Hanson Memorial was definitely one to follow, and Madame George out of the Maiden.
Yeah, they all made it into my black book, too, those horses, so I tend to agree with you, and there's a few others as well. Finished the night, Brunton with two, Perez with two, Barry Campbell and Brenda McCool took the honours with a treble between them there at Launceston on New Year's Eve. We backed up at Longford on New Year's Day, the once-a-year picnic betting, of course, the home of the cleaner, and he was there to parade and lead the cup field out, and he looked a ball of muscle, the cleaner, and he was ready to go. He didn't want to come back off the track when that paraded him. He was ready to race, I think.
Well, needless to say, he hasn't raced for a few weeks. He still would have won the Longford Cup, but he looked a picture, didn't he? And it was good to see him there. He had a lot of interest with the crowd.
Mm. First of the day there, and we saw a win to Breeze Attack, one trained on the track by Troy Blacker.
Yeah, too good. One by three lengths, far too good. Loomed up, coming to the home turn, just dashed away. The third place getter lead us was the $2.80 favourite, had a wide run and finished off okay, but was a long way from the winner.
Well, second event was taken out by a horse called Magnassa, ridden by Georgie Catania for George Blacker. It ran 20 hours earlier in Launceston and finished fourth.
That's something I can't recall happening. Of course, once upon a time, I used to race twice on the same day, especially at some of these picnic-type meetings, but these days that's not allowed. Very, very occasionally, anywhere in Australia would they back up 2 days in a row. This one only had 20 hours between runs, as you said, and got the money. Very good performance. John Blacker said he took all the credit for it, but all he had to do was feed it. He didn't have time to do anything else between runs. There was a black booker in this race, though, and I know we've talked about it before, attempts to find a bit of trouble, but the runner-up any time soon got caught behind the pack on the fence when the run started coming down the side, got shuffled right back towards the rear, got beaten a length, but should have finished much, much closer.
Third of the day, Jilly Babe, after six placings from seven runs, broke its duck.
It did, ran on from back in the field. Oh, he just got there at the finish over Ain't the Whiskey. Ain't the Whiskey is probably a little bit stiff because it worked early to find the front, and it just got attacked by a horse called Ebedelia, or Ebedelia, from about the 600. They wanted to be in front on it on the home turn come hell or high water. 8, the Whiskey, fought on very well. The margin of the finish was only a neck, so it's definitely got its foot on the tool.
Yeah, I agree with that. Fourth, and we saw Up Cups, Brunton and Perez at it again, and I think what we saw at Longford on New Year's Day was the fact that, despite the fact it's a tight-turning track, you couldn't sit back at the tail of the field.
It certainly defied what I thought would be the pattern. There was only one winner out of the seven races that it led, and most of them came from either last or second last, and Perez really put on a clinic on how to ride this track. He was based there earlier in his career, and look, he rode three winners in 2 seconds from his five rides. The two that got beaten, he rode a treat. They just weren't good enough, and as I said, he gave them a good example of how you ride a tight track, patience, and time your run to perfection. And Up Cups was just a bit too good. The runner-up, Bel Hombre, came from second last, so the first two place getters from the rear of the field. Savvy Princess, third after leading. And Peter Staples' horse, Settler's Joy, was a bit stiff in this, had no room in the home straight, should have finished closer.
Race 5, and Don't Tell Kay, the one that trained on the track by McCulloch and Keating, got the prize.
Yes, nice win again, coming from second last. Of course, the pattern, unfortunately, the favourite in this race, a horse called Manna Ziva, ridden by David Perez, who hit the front on the home turn and did look to have the race in its keeping at that stage, got run down by Don't Tell Kay, but was subsequently found to have broken down quite badly. So I believe it will be retired, which is unfortunate. A half to our very good mare Izzy Baeva, and I think it would have won a few races, but not so now.
Okay, that's sad news. Race 6, the Longford Tap taken out by Brunton and Perez again with Cherry Dancer too good.
Excellent training performance from Scott Brunton to get this mare right for this race. He said that he thought she'd probably gone off a little bit when she was unplaced at her previous run, so he sent her up to Wesley Vale to John Keyes to freshen up in a new environment, put her on the walker for a couple of weeks, sent her back home. She won a barrier trial. He just was a little bit worried that she might have still been half a run short, but that wasn't the case, and she was helped by a perfect ride from Perez again, coming from last. In fact, she was still last at the 400 and rounded them up. The runner-up, Kuganoff, came from second last, so the pattern of the day continued. Crystal Reef, who was suspect of the distance, held on well after leading, and the unlucky runner was GG Miss B, who was held up for most of the home straight.
Last of the day was taken out by Hold True. It was a huge tip, was heavily backed out of the favourite Cherry Bar. Took it straight to the front, and well, that was the end of 1 by 5.5 lengths.
Well, the one certainty of the day was that this was going to lead, and probably by a big margin, and that's exactly the way Sherry rode it. You've got to ride it that way. Started $2.50, 1 by 5.5, as you said. 7 Mile King, the runner-up, was going for four. Perez was going for four on this. It was perfectly ridden, moved to second at the 600. I thought it might have taken a bit of ground off the winner, but it couldn't. He doesn't get to the line all that well. Hold True, just far too good.
Well, Greg, as we mentioned, it's Devonport Cup Day coming up on Wednesday. We've got a 9-event program, 1:05 the first, and just after 6 o'clock the last. The Cup, let's have a quick look at it, is race 7 over the 1,880 metres, a field of 13 to tackle the Cup. It includes last year's winner, Red Eagle, and a few promising horses. What are your early thoughts?
Well, my early thoughts are that it's a very even field. I don't think there's any standout. I certainly don't think there'll be a short price favourite. I've come up with four at this stage that I'll be tipping in my selections, and the top of them is number 10, Genuine Lad. I think this horse is going to be peaking at the right time. I think he's screaming out for the 1880. Two starts ago, he probably should have won the Golden Mile when he ran off the track in the home straight. He then had a barrier trial, then he went to the Sheffield Cup. He ran third behind Land a Dollar and second dozen after getting a fraction too far back, but he wasn't far away, and that was 1650. So on the minimum weight with 1880, I think he's a safe each way bet. I think the really promising horse in the race, obviously, is number 7 at the weekend. This will be a good training performance from Adam Trender if he can win with this mare. She's only had one run since the 5th of October, and that was a win over 1350 on Boxing Day, so straight up to the 1880 here, but she's a super talented mare. She probably should have won the Strut Stakes over 2100 metres in Hobart in February, so the distance suits. I think the top way will run well, Jacory Jim. He ran 4th in the race last year. He's just a little bit suspect at the trip, but he's racing very well, and the Sheffield Cup winner, Land a Dollar, can't be ruled out with Dean Holland coming to ride, so that'd be my top four, but there are other chances.
Yeah, I agree with your top two there. I'm not too sure which way I'll go with that. The weekend and Genuine Lad, but they are both highly promising at the weekend. Had 8 starts, 4 wins and 3 minor placings, just the 1 start of the track. It's drawn barrier number 1, Daniel Ganterton has the ride. And you look at Genuine Lad, 6 starts of the track for 3 wins, 3 placings. Track and distance, 3 starts, three wins, Barrier 5, Anthony Darman, and so they'll probably be vying for favouritism, I would think, and they're both drawn nicely and both promising gallopers. Genuine Lead's had the 13 starts and has won four and been placed on seven occasions, so both good, honest campaigners, these two, and probably the most promising horses in the race.
I agree. I think they will vie for favouritism. Both of them, as you said, have all the stats in their favour. Both of them also have just one little question mark over them. Of course, Land of Dollar being second up after a little break, and Genuine Lad in that he has that little habit of running to the outside fence. You wouldn't want to do that in this race. But if they both perform up to their best, there shouldn't be much between them. I think at the weekend we'll go on to bigger things later on, and I know the Launceston Cup is their major target.
It's a $100,000 race at 4:42 summertime. That's the Devonport Cup on Wednesday afternoon. Highlight of a big program, and no doubt if the weather's on side, there'll be a big crowd along there to Devonport, so Greg.
Well, they usually get around 6,000 to 8,000, don't they? So that's a big crowd for that venue. It can't cope with many more, and I think the forecast is okay. As I said earlier, I hope we get a couple of showers between now and then so that the track races well.
All right, that's something to look forward to. Wednesday afternoon racing coming up in Tasmania this week. In a moment, let's talk harness racing. There's 10 on the card in Hobart tonight.